Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Ah, 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 ah! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
There you go.
Welcome. Caught by Dorothy Ashby.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, Camden, from Sustainable Coastlines.
Kia ora.
Welcome to 95 BFM. Have you ever been up here?
I have been up here before.
What's the dirt? What's your
I was up here with Saren.
Oh,
back
nice.
Back in Saren's days. Is she still kicking around?
I see her from time to time. Not so much around BFM, but definitely see her. She's either in here or I think she's in Canada at the moment.
She's a good girl. Hi, Saren.
She's probably not.
Now, was this in regards to Sustainable Coastlines at the time?
It was. Okay. Yeah, we've been running running events and been in the sustainability space for a long time, so we tend to get around the radio stations.
Yeah, for sure. Sort of surprised me, because I wasn't sure, like, whether it was a full-time gig or how big the organisation was. Tell us a bit more about that. I was surprised how many there were of you.
Yeah. I think when people hear the phrase environmental charity, they assume it's a small little unit, back of a shed run by a couple of volunteers. And that's certainly how we started. And we started 10 years ago now. But it's been a pretty epic journey. We've been scaling it up. And I suppose wanting to create jobs in this space has been a big goal of ours. You know, working for sustainability doesn't have to mean you work for free. And I think that's something that's really important that we set as a criteria for how we develop this industry, is that, you know, jobs are paid and they're in this space and they're doing good. I think people, you know, doing good should be paid more than those doing bad, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
I think your math is solid.
Yeah. I've worked it all out. Yeah, but we've got 10 staff. We're based in Auckland, and we've got staff in Wellington as well, and one staff member in Gisborne. So yeah, we're going well, and we're scaling our work up, and it's needed.
What sort of work is your main focus?
So we focus on two main issues. Those are plastic pollution, so litter in our marine environments is a huge issue. You know, I'm sure listeners out there will have seen the viral videos going nuts.
The plastic island and shit like that.
Pretty terrible stuff happening in our oceans, and we want to prevent plastic from getting in the ocean in the first place. That's a core focus, and pick it up once it's there. But, you know, waterway quality is another one that Kiwis care about. Our rivers, you know, we want to be able to surf at river mouths. We want to be able to swim in rivers. I mean, damn, I'd love to be able to drink water from a river one day, but that's not the reality right now. So, you know, water quality, plastic pollution, those are the core issues that we look at.
China stopped buying our plastic, guys.
Yeah,
so that's freaky, isn't it? Isn't that freaking everyone out a little bit now that
plastic is this, like, you know, the evil spectre of our time, it seems like. It's just everywhere.
Plastic, the evil spectre of our time.
Where Johnny can Murray. We, I mean...
Good quote.
Is this the sort of thing that we can do away with completely by lobbying the government to not allow plastic in New Zealand?
Plastic is not in itself the evil spectre of our times. It's more
habits.
That it's single-use plastic. It's the way we use it. It's our behaviour. It's buying things that we only need to use once and throwing them away, and sort of living that post-World War II convenience lifestyle. The cover of Time magazine after the Second World War was a picture of a bunch of disposable plastic cutlery and plates flying out towards, saying the housewife of the post-war era doesn't have time because her man's back and she doesn't have time for dishes. Just throw all your cutlery and crockery away. It's just way easier. And we've kind of taken that lifestyle and put it across everything we do. So it's that dependence on single-use plastic that's the main thing. Plastic in itself, I mean, you know, the microphones, our computers, our phones, we've all got plastics in them, but it's where it's single-use, we just don't need it.
There's not, I feel like the problem with plastic is there's not enough incentive to, like, there's no, like, penalties if I go to the... Say if you go to the supermarket and you buy a bunch of things, on the way out you should get taxed, like, on the plastic that's in your thing, and then maybe people would choose a little bit differently on how they shop for this and that, you know? Like,
there's longer-term penalties. There's, you know, not being able to go to the beach and find it free of plastic.
That's
but it's
right,
not that short-term thing.
It's not... Because there's people that don't give a shit, man. There's a lot of people that don't give a shit.
I think the thing in New Zealand is people kind of probably don't see it as... a terrible thing, because while you see it, you don't see it as much as you would if you go somewhere else in the world. Like if you travel, I mean, I spent some time in Mexico a couple of years ago, and going to the beach in Mexico.
Oh, India, man, it's real bad.
Whoa,
anywhere. But to be honest, I could take you to the Tamaki Estuary or the mangroves in Mangere, or you know, even Rangitoto Island. You know, just 5 meters away from the walking path around the coast, and you'd think you were in a developing country. So you know, we're not free from it. Our disposal and consumption behaviour is actually far worse waste than most places in the world. We're number 10 in the world for consumption of waste, per capita production of waste. We're worse than the Americans for that. And so, you know, we've got a long
the
way to
Americans.
Go. I know. Imagine that. But we have a long way to go. I think on the flip side of it, it is becoming a popular issue to get behind, and it's actually not that hard of a thing to change in our lives. You know, you can kind of hit it step by step pretty easily. You can reduce plastics out of one part of your life and then go for the next and then go for the next and level up. And
I like lumping it in with oil. From the same, it's all shit.
Yeah, well, it's all made of oil,
yeah,
so
it's
just
terrible
same
thing.
Place. But yeah, it's sort of shipping stuff around the world to produce it to use it once is crazy, and we've done better before, and we'll do better again. We're just in this plastic era right now, and we'll get there, but we'll look back on this time and we'll say that was weird how we used all that plastic. Eh?
Camden, are you open to taking phone calls during this segment?
I can take phone calls.
Hello, BFM. You're with Sustaining Life.
How's it going?
Hey, g'day. Have you got a question for Sustainable Coastlines?
Yeah, just a comment. You know, you're saying about people should be taxed less than they use in supermarkets. I think part of the problem is industry doesn't give consumers a choice, an option. Doesn't matter where you go, the damn shit's wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, but I honestly, people use
plastic at that.
Yeah.
And then that supports a big recycling business, and they don't want to go out of business.
Yeah, but they can't. You can't give. The thing is, they can't actually even give an option because that won't get chosen because it's not. It won't be the cheapest, most convenient for people, and that's what people want. Unfortunately, that's what we seem to demand, most of us. It wouldn't be productive for the people to sell it, so that's why it doesn't get...
I think to middle-class white people, yeah, we do get it. It's a privilege we have and that we can exercise.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and
who's not educated doesn't care, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'll just jump in. I kind of, in a sense, disagree because we have talked with a lot of people around New Zealand, and we have. There's a really good survey that's gone out that tries to pick a range of demographics from New Zealand, and plastic pollution is actually one of the top three things that people do care about. But yeah, the problem is we're making decisions on the fly that we're not thinking about, and we're not actually consciously doing it because we don't care. We're doing it because we're not thinking at all about whether we care or not. So it's that unconscious decision making that's built into the types of lifestyles we live. But we're not actually that far away from lots of different solutions. There's lots of different ones out there, and they're actually coming from consumers and from industry, not from government. So it's happening, you know, bottom up, not top down. And that's what I love. That's the power of people who care and give a shit, is that we can have a big influence. Because in the end, companies will do what they think we'll buy. We can tell them what we'll buy by voting with our dollar, and by letting them know through the types of polls that Countdown and New World put out there to say, hey, what do you want with bags? Overwhelmingly, Kiwi said we don't want bags. So Countdown said...
So what do you think of recyclable plastic bags and recyclable plastics? Like, does that not just engender more consumption?
Yes, it does.
People go, hey, I can put in the recycling. Sweet. Yep.
Definitely.
Or the oxy-degradable bags.
I think any of those options that are single-use, regardless of whether they're commercially compostable or whether they're recyclable, give people the excuse to continue on the same behaviours. So, yeah.
I totally agree with that. Like I say, I'm playing devil's advocate and I try my hardest not to use single-use, but it's hard graft and it takes a lot of work.
I will say that recycling will not save the world. It's actually changing our behaviours in a way that's far different from choosing the different bin to put something in.
Yeah, and reducing the consumption of those plastics, which are of no use except once.
We're not recycling, and you can't recycle most of the stuff we think we can anyway. So, hey, thanks, caller.
No, keep it up, man. Awesome.
Kia ora.
Now, shall we move on from the plastic issue to some of the work you guys are doing around, you're saying, planting our waterways?
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done in New Zealand's waterways. You know, we've got some pretty horrible water quality going on. We've got, you know, people getting sick. 30,000 people per year in New Zealand get sick from waterborne disease. You know, one of the more commonly known or well-known examples of that was in Havelock North around a year or so ago. You know, town water supply was polluted through agricultural runoff. And it's not just agriculture. I've got to be really clear about that. You know, the worst thing we can do for water quality in an urban environment is tip chemicals down the drain and drive our cars everywhere because of all the heavy metals and brake dust and things flow downstream. So, you know, urban waterways are very heavily affected by, you know, urban individual household behaviours and some infrastructure stuff that's going on as well.
But stoked everyone doesn't have four cows in the backyard.
Absolutely.
Cows are fucked.
Yeah. So, I mean, but there's some really simple things that we can do to improve that water quality and some fun stuff. We focus on riparian planting, which is basically planting alongside waterways. It's not just good for water quality, it's great for biodiversity. Trees look good, you know, it stabilizes soil so you get less sedimentation. There's lots of different reasons why you'd want to plant trees.
Filters the shit a bit, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. Great for avoiding nutrient runoff. That's the PC way of saying it.
Yeah.
Bird life, of course.
Fantastic for bird life. Actually shades the water, lowers the temperature of the water and provides better, so you get less algae growth, nutrient growth, and then it provides better habitats for native fish and eels and things like that too. So there's so many different spin-offs from just planting trees by the
water. Trees are good?
Aren't they great?
Go figure.
Do you have any planting events coming up that people might be able to register their interest for or get involved with?
Funny you should ask. Yeah. We've got a few listed on our Facebook page, so just search Sustainable Coastlines on Facebook or get us on Instagram. But we've got a few events on there, and later in the year we've got one down in Christchurch in September with Kathmandu, so they're holding some summit club events with us, and in October, end of October, we've got one up here in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, out at Tiatutu Peninsula. It's a great spot that we've been working with some local groups on planting for a while, and really cool thing to get involved in. You'll meet some awesome, great, like-minded people, and you get to do something awesome for the environment.
Okay.
Hey, what's
okay.
the skinny on this charity ball, PS? It looks like a fancy scenario. It's at the Pullman, just up the road here.
Very fancy, yeah, but not too fancy. We try to keep it real. It's called Let's Get Cleaned Up. It's an excuse for everyone who volunteers with us or, you know, loves the ocean and wants to, you know, do something extra, have a bit of a party while raising money for the cause.
We're your number ones?
Number ones, yeah. We're not black tie, but we're, you know, number ones. We've had a few people turn up in some pretty interesting dress-up type stuff before, which has been great.
It's topical.
As long as it's topical. Yeah. Aquaman would be relevant.
Yeah, right on.
Captain Planet. We're accepting all proposals.
He's green, isn't he? He's got a green face.
I think he's fully green skin, yeah.
Okay.
I think that would... I'm not sure how well that'd go, but we'll see. We're doing that at 3 or 4 weeks time now, mid August, 18th of August at the Pullman Hotel. We've got Solarosa sound system playing.
Excellent.
So we call it a bit of a soiree, a bit of a party to help people get together. We normally have 350, 400 people there. And so it's a pretty good night out. All your drinks are included in the ticket price. Your three-course meal. We've got an auction item, live auction and a silent auction. And then there's the music as well and an after party. So, you know, the tickets are around 200, I think, or cheaper if you get a table of friends together. So it's not the cheapest night out, but remember it's a fundraiser for the cause. It helps us do our work, cleaning up beaches and waterways. So love to see you there.
Nice one. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sustainable Coastlines, ladies and gentlemen.
It's great to get a bit of insight into your work and what you're up to. Is there anything else that you want to... This brings to mind that Sustainable Coastlines are up to?
Yeah, it's topical in the sense that, you know, we're in July. People are probably thinking about dry July, thinking about a few different things they can do to improve their own situation. And July is also Plastic Free July, so it's a really good time to think about our own individual...
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, Plastic Free July. It's choose to refuse is a good one.
It might have to be plastic free most of August for me.
Yeah. Well, that's acceptable still, but it doesn't take that long to start a new habit. And that's the idea of Plastic Free July, is that, you know, take a few weeks to consider your use of single-use plastics.
Retrain yourself, man.
You'd be surprised, you know, like one thing that didn't take too long for me once I started was just bringing my own containers to a takeaway place.
Yes, that's a great option. Yeah.
There's some terrible clamshell polystyrene things that they spill all your stuff out of them anyway. So bring your own stuff to a takeaway place. That's
maybe
take one
a little bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah, take one a bit bigger. They sometimes put an extra spoon in just to say thanks.
There you go, a little karma spoon.
Yeah, a little karma spoon. And then maybe just say no to the lid at the coffee shop too. Just walk with a steady hand.
Yeah.
You know, you're better than that.
Hey, that coffee, that spilt coffee will wash out of your clothes, but that plastic lid won't wash out of the stream. It'll just go into the ocean.
Johnny Larry, 2018.
That's deep. That's
around
deep.
About the middle of the year.
That's great, yeah. It's not that hard to change, and it's just sometimes it takes a wee Kickstarter like this, mid-July, you know, doing Dry July, think about plastic use, and just cut out a couple of things if you can. You'd be surprised how easy it is.
Stay rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers, Camden. Yeah. Cheers, Sustainable Coastlines. And if people want to get themselves a ticket to your charity ball, which is coming up on Saturday, the 18th of August at the Pullman Hotel, they can find it on EventFinder.
Yeah, it's on EventFinder. We've also got an event on our website, sustainablecoastlines.org, and sign up to our email list there. If you can't come to that one, but you want an invite to another event, we're always we're running a lot of events, so love to see you there. But sure. Cheers.
Good stuff, bro.
Cheers, mate.
Kia ora.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95BFM.